We're going to call the council meeting of May 11th to order and note that we are all here save Councilor Harrington, who is excused. First item of business is citizen communication, and under citizen communication, we have one person who wishes to address the council just in general, and then a couple more that want to talk to us about an item that's later on the agenda. So, Mr. Bruce Hansen, if you'd like to come forward for your...
For the record, my name is Bruce Hansen. My address is 19655 Northwest Savi Island Road. I've lived there for over 45 years. Council President and members of the Council, I'm here today to talk to you about your Wildwood property, which I hope you all know where it's located along Highway 30 on the way to Scappoose. It's east of the highway by the truck way station. I used this area before you people purchased it for years. I fished in Wildwood Creek for salmon. There was a limited number of coho, steelhead, and mostly trout. I also hunted wildlife there before you people took the property over. this area is near and dear to me, as I have fished and hunted this area before Metro purchased it. And as a boy, I would fish trout and steelhead in Wildwood Creek and hunt waterfowl in the winter there. You see, I have lived on Savi Island for over 45 years and raised my family there. I would row my skiff across the channel from Pastorino's farm to the Wildwood area and spend time there. I complained at the time that the state put the new culvert in for Wildwood Creek under Highway 30 that it was not fish friendly. It fell on deaf ears. This eliminated the steelhead from traveling up the creek there. I spent 8.5 years on the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Restoration and Enhancement Board, and I've commercial fished and sport fished my whole life, both in the ocean and in the river. I have a gillnet license, which is not much now, but I also had a 60-foot trawler in the ocean. We did many projects to enhance the salmon and steelhead on the many tributaries of the Willamette system. Now, the complaint I have is you put a water control device at the lower end of your property. I called and complained at the time, but it fell on deaf ears. I found out from your staff at the time on what types of fish were present in this area. Your records will show there were Chinook, smolts, coho smolts, steelhead, trout, and some other non-game species in that area before you put this water control device in. The tide would flush in and out of this area before the water control device was put in. At the time, I was told it was needed to control vegetation and canary grass. I asked why it's still in place. The U.S. Corps of Army Engineers has now taken out or breached at least two areas in the lower Columbia to let the tide flush in and out so that these small fish on their outward trip to the ocean have a place to eat. They have no place to eat if they have a straight river coming down like the Willamette system. I fish the Willamette Channel hundreds of hours a year, and 2 years ago I was spring salmon fishing anchored up after high water that breached your levee in several places. I witnessed 12 cormorants going over the flooded area to gobble up the salmon that were trapped in there because of the water control device. Right now it's been flooded now for well over a month. I fished down there until this last closure, which is open today only for 3 days, one fish. And there were numerous smolts jumping in the area where this is breached. So I'm sure that they're going in there to try and find something to eat, and it's going to be trapped there when the water goes down. I spent 8.5 years trying to increase the runs on the Willamette and their tributaries, and they just get eaten up on these fish traps. These fish that are coming out now are salmon and steelhead mostly. They are hatchery fish, and you also have some ESA-listed fish that are going outbound right now, which is very serious because the sports fishermen are limited to the number of fish that can be taken, and you're not allowed to keep any native fish. And these ESA fish are very few left, and this needs to be addressed as soon as possible. In the past time that I've been fishing in this area, I would hope that you people would take another look at this. It needs to be addressed, and if we're trapping all these fish back in there behind with this high water, every time we have high water, it's in the springtime, and we're trapping these fish in there, and they're going to be either killed by the warm water or they're going to be gobbled up by predators. Also, I hunt ducks on Savis Island. I manage a duck lake for some wealthy people here in Portland. And when these fish start coming downstream, you also, where that outflow is, you have, last year you had between 20 and 50 American mergansers right there where the water comes out. So it's a bad situation, and I think it needs to be addressed as soon as possible. And like I say, the Corps of Engineers are finding out that these fish need spots to eat, and that's one of the spots they used to eat, but now they're not able to do it. If you have any questions, I could be happy to ask you.
Sam, do I see you looking?
Yeah, I you know, as somebody who is a hunter and a fisher and want to make sure we're doing everything we can to preserve wildlife and natural areas, it'd be great to maybe get your contact information and have somebody reach out and just kind of hear a little bit. I would just say that the highest priority for our natural areas is to protect the wildlife and natural areas themselves. Then we look at what are the other things that need to happen with those areas. So that is something that our folks would I think be interested in hearing and looking at. And we have biologists that are
Dan Moore sitting in the audience. So yeah. I'm assuming that if I asked Dan to get the information and respond, that he would be willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
The thing that I really didn't. The reason I'm here today, like I say, I could be fishing, but I took the time to come in to explain this problem to you people, and I came here 2 weeks ago and checked in downstairs, and the lady down there told me that they would have a ranger call me. Never called me. So that's the reason I'm here today and taking time to come in and explain this problem to you people and see that something needs to be done. I know you have biologists there because I went down and talked to them when they were trapping trout with on your property where it comes out of the culvert this last year or so ago. They were checking to see what was there. But it's a death trap down there is what it is right now.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Right. We'll see if we get better response. I have no one else on the list of folks who want to address the council until we get to one of the resolutions, which we're about to get to anyway. We have a consent agenda basically that has a consideration of the council minutes for May 4th. Is there a motion?
Move approved.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 4, resolutions. The first resolution is 17-4789. Ms. Papsdorf, could you read that that resolution by title only?
Resolution number 17-4789, for the purpose of authorizing the Chief Operating Officer to accept the donation of property in the Sandy River Gorge target area.
Okay, is there a motion?
Move approval.
How about a second? Moved and seconded. Let me ask Sam and Connie Dyack to come take their time to testify, and then we'll have Dan follow up.
The very first thing I'd like to say is I just don't feel like we've had enough time to think about this. This article came out in the Tribune Tuesday. I've lived on this property for 74 years, and I don't think 48 hours is enough time for myself or the public in general to digest what's being proposed here. My first wish and reaction would be to flatly deny this. Why try and fix something that's not broken? The Nature Conservancy, to whom we donated the sea gift years ago, that would be about 45 years, has done a wonderful job of conservation management and can certainly afford to do so in the future. Your original purpose of the bond monies were to acquire and protect properties that needed protection. Well, these properties have protection already. Why not redirect the funds you have from the two bond measures into acquisition of properties that really need it, or need it more so? I guess basically I'm just asking this august body to give more time for the public to step up and see what's going on and give some feedback, both to the council, perhaps to the media. There seems to have been a lack of transparency. We as a family have been known about this for quite some time through TNC, but didn't know that it was this eminent. We've also been kind of pushed into a corner as far as certain properties in the Sandy River Gorge Preserve go. That's about all I've got. I guess we're just a little upset that the original purpose of our family's gift to Nature Conservancy seems to have been overlooked, and we're worried that if Metro does take this property over, that those original goals that Nature Conservancy promised to uphold and the family really, really wanted to see upheld could be abrogated sometime in the future. We know that things change. That's all I have. Thank you.
I'll be very brief. And any anger or frustration isn't towards you. It's actually towards the Nature Conservancy. And this morning, we listened to a tape by Sam's father and uncle about giving this land to Nature Conservancy, and also a city club meeting with Tom McAllister and Ken Margolis, who was then with Nature Conservancy, and how thrilled they were and the goodwill and trust they felt that this land, this jewel of the Sandy River, would stay as the Dyack family intended. So this situation is very emotional. We either had to buy it back or it was to be given to Metro. So we will make do with what we have the best we can. But please understand that's where we're coming from. We are hoping you wait before the public, and we can all talk about what the plan is for the land that TNC is giving you. So that's all I have to say.
You know, if, since you've recently looked over the tape again, could you summarize for us really briefly what the goals of the family were when the donation was originally made?
Prevention of development on developable parcels. And for instance, our parcel, the 156-acre parcel, could have been, Well, in those days, it could have been annexed by Multnomah County. You probably remember this. And by condemnation, added on to Oxbow Park. So, and it could also have been converted into developable land under a proposal by Multnomah County to rezone it into, I don't know, residential or five-acre mini. And I would now be a millionaire if that were the case. The family decided en bloc to get away from that. Fran Dyack called in Nature Conservancy, and that was the start of it. We gave it away to protect it.
It was also to be protected, excuse me, from, you know, it was important that it would be limited human use, and used for scientific and educational reasons, not for recreational purposes. And with the population growing, urban growth being pushed like it is, these natural areas will be stretched even more. So,
Which you guys know,
it's no secret. At any rate, we are just hoping that you don't vote yes on this today, that you give us some time.
Time is what we're asking for.
Thank you.
Let us
thank you, Bob.
Ask Mr. Moeller to come up and give us the staff report on this, which I normally, doing it in this order, works out better. I somehow feel that if I had had you come up first, then we would have understood a little better what the Dyacks were talking about. I think we all caught on, I think.
We can sort it out, yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
Council President Hughes, members of the Metro Council, my name is Dan Moeller, Conservation Program Director for Metro's Parks and Nature Department. Today I'm here to introduce to you Resolution 17-4789, which requests authorization from the Metro Council to accept 251 acres of conservation land in Metro's Sandy River target area. I'm also pleased to introduce, next to me here, Kathy McDonald, the Nature Conservancy's Director of Policy and External Affairs, who will say a few words after the conclusion of my presentation. Let's see if I just want to make sure I'm able to advance. Before I get started. Great. Sorry. There we go. Thank you very much. The proposed donation is a great demonstration of Metro's partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Both organizations are working together to conserve natural resources as efficiently as possible on behalf of Oregonians. Serving as stewards of additional land in the Sandy River Gorge fits in seamlessly with our mission of protecting clean water, restoring fish and wildlife habitat, and connecting people with nature close to home in the greater Portland area. For a quarter century now, Metro has protected and managed public land throughout the region. Over this time, voters have passed two bond measures asking Metro to acquire land, as well as two operating levies to care for this growing portfolio of parks, trails, and natural areas. We now serve as stewards of more than 17,000 acres. Metro's work is deeply connected to partners, including local governments, non-governmental, and community-based organizations. For example, Metro contracts with partner agencies and nonprofit organizations to manage over 1,800 acres of our land holdings through intergovernmental agreements and licenses. Metro has also accepted land donations from land conservancies and taken responsibility for managing select land holdings adjacent to its sites, where this increases management efficiencies and also allows Metro to make more significant ecological improvements. In the Sandy River Gorge, Metro has actively partnered with the Sandy River Watershed Council, the Nature Conservancy, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Bureau of Land Management, and the Portland Water Bureau to restore habitat and protect water quality. Metro owns over 2,000 acres in the Sandy River Gorge, including Oxbow Regional Park, which provides a place for people to experience this special landscape. Adding the land that the Nature Conservancy is proposing to donate will allow Metro to continue to provide protections to fish and wildlife habitat and water quality consistent with our mission. It will also allow Metro to efficiently manage that relatively small addition consistently with the rest of its ownership in the watershed. Since the Nature Conservancy has made substantial investments in the restoration and care of that land, the additional burden of management will be minor in comparison with the other investments that Metro makes each year restoring and managing land in the Sandy River Gorge. The first map that you're seeing here just gives you a regional context for the area that we're talking about. The Sandy River originates on Mount Hood and flows 55 miles northwest to the Columbia River, defining the eastern edge of the Portland metropolitan area. Snow melting from glaciers high on the west slopes of Mount Hood gives rise to the Sandy River, which drops steeply before reaching the valley floor, where the communities of Zigzag, Welch's, and Rhododendron are located along State Highway 26. The Salmon and Zigzag Rivers, important tributaries to the Sandy, also begin on the upper slopes of the mountain. The Bull Run River, an important tributary to the Sandy, serves as the City of Portland's water supply, providing high-quality drinking water to over 800,000 people. After a 56-mile journey, the Sandy flows into the Columbia River near the city of Troutdale. Just a little bit of a closer view of the properties that we're discussing today, and specifically the Sandy River Gorge. The Sandy River Gorge is a 12.5-mile stretch of the river which runs from Dodge Park to the Stark Street Bridge. It cuts through 800-foot-tall basalt and sandstone cliffs as it meanders toward the Columbia River. Above the bluffs on either side of the river is a mosaic of private and public forest land and agricultural tracts. You can see on the map before you now the land that Metro currently owns in the gorge, which is in that light green. It includes Oxbow Park, and also on this map you will see outlined in red the parcels that are proposed for donation by the Nature Conservancy, and one parcel that is highlighted in yellow, which is proposed for donation from another private landowner. The river passes through riparian woodlands, sandbars, and old-growth forests once common in lower elevations west of the Cascade Mountains. The river provides excellent habitat for wildlife protected by the Endangered Species Act, such as fall and spring Chinook and steelhead. Other wildlife frequenting the river corridor include osprey, bald eagle, elk, deer, bear, and cougar. Generations of Oregonians have enjoyed the Sandy River Basin. The Sandy's wild and scenic rivers are home to thousands of residents and businesses, as well as native salmon and wildlife. People boat, fish, hike, camp, and sightsee at popular recreation sites like Oxbow and Dodge Park. The deep winter snows higher up in the drainage gradually melt in the spring and summer and provide clear, cold water for salmon, drinking water, and irrigation. I'm going to just scroll through a few photos here that are shots taken from some of the sites proposed for donation. This is a little shot of a waterfall, also sometimes known as the grotto, which is a really unique feature on one of the sites. This is a small Kinnikinick, not a small, actually relatively substantial Kinnikinick meadow, looking at some slough sedge and some skunk cabbage on one of the sites. Wish we had larger screens. This is a beautiful shot from one of the beaches looking out onto the river and looking from the forest down through to that beach that we just saw. Metro's natural area acquisition work plan adopted by council in 2014 requires that all acquisitions, including donations, meet due diligence standards outlined in the plan. I'm before you today because aspects of this donation fell outside of the work plan requirements. For example, due to the remoteness of the donated properties coupled with challenging topography and access limits, the consultant hired to do the environmental analysis on the properties did not conduct on-the-ground reconnaissance on each parcel, which is a requirement of the work plan. The properties have been under the ownership of the Nature Conservancy for many years, and the Nature Conservancy has not discovered any environmental contamination during their ownership. To ensure that Metro will not be impacted by any undiscovered contamination, The Nature Conservancy agrees to indemnify Metro against any liability associated with the environmental conditions on the property proposed for donation. Two additional elements of the acquisition do not meet requirements of the work plan. A few of the donated parcels do not have legal access via a street or right-of-way. However, every parcel is accessible via the Sandy River, adjacent public land, or private land. Over the years, access to the properties by land managers has not been a limitation. Also, the deed that will convey the properties to Metro includes a reverter clause. Returning the property to the Nature Conservancy, if at any point it can no longer be held in public trust for protection, enhancement, and restoration of fish, wildlife, and water quality. I want to conclude my presentation by thanking the Nature Conservancy for its work to protect and care for this land over the years, and thank them for placing trust in Metro's Parks and Nature System to continue that legacy. Now I'd like to turn it over to Kathy McDonald with the Nature Conservancy to say a few words.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Catherine McDonald. I'm the Director of Policy and External Affairs for the Nature Conservancy in Oregon. Council President Hughes, members of the council, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of this proposed donation of land. The Nature Conservancy has worked for over 55 years in Oregon to protect the land and waters on which life depends. In 1961, a band of volunteers came together to create the Oregon chapter of the Nature Conservancy. And at the time, we were one of the very few organizations that was protecting habitat in Oregon. We are very glad that with the DIAC's early assistance, we were able to put the Sandy River on a strong path to conservation. I personally have had the honor of working on conserving the Sandy River since the early 1980s. And the bulk of that time was spent overseeing our land protection, stewardship, and conservation programs. The Sandy River is widely recognized as a very important fish, wildlife, and wildlife stream river, but also important for two people and four people. And we are very proud of the legacy of work that we have done to conserve the Sandy River Gorge. After the first donation of land, the DIAC tracts from the DIAC family, we've acquired an additional 9 tracts of land over 4 decades of our work on the Sandy. In addition, we work to get protective designations on some of the other public lands in that corridor. We helped to protect the river's flows. We led a 15-year basin-wide effort to control invasive species, including knotweed and Scott's broom and others. Much has changed since the Nature Conservancy started working in the 1970s to protect the Sandy River, including the growth of a number of very capable organizations who are also working to conserve lands and waters on the Sandy River and across the metro region. Metro's Parks and Natural Areas program is really the most outstanding and impressive example of those organizations. And over the years, the Metro Council has shown great leadership by asking voters to approve measures to acquire natural areas and invest in our region's green infrastructure, and 2 measures to fund ongoing operations and maintenance of the natural areas on behalf of the public, and we commend you for that. Metro's natural area program, in our view, is one of the best in the country, if not the world, and your staff do outstanding work. As the largest land manager in this stretch of the region, you've really become experts at managing the kinds of habitats along the Sandy. And as Dan stated earlier, when we first came to talk to Metro about this potential donation, our collective goal was to see how we could work together to conserve the state's natural resources as efficiently as possible on behalf of Oregonians. So transferring these lands into public trust will take advantage of the incredible expertise Metro has developed over the years in managing these habitats. It will ensure consistent management across these ownerships, and we believe very strongly that it will continue to provide benefits to future generations. You have an incredibly skilled staff and an incredible program, and we believe that you will do a great job in advancing the legacy that we've invested in. And we really see this donation as the next great step in conservation on the Sandy, and certainly wouldn't be thinking about this if we didn't see a bright future for these properties in your hands. We've been working on this transfer for the last 3 years, and have, as the Dyaks mentioned, we've been in conversation with them throughout that time about this idea and where we were headed with it. We did decide to retain the Dyak tract and not include it in the transfer. As mentioned by the Dyaks, they have inholdings and neighboring properties to the Dyak tract that we own. And over the years, we've worked very closely with them on trying to reach our individual and collective goals for those properties. Several years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, we closed the Dyak tract to public use because of we weren't able to protect them from inappropriate usage and protect their quality of life. So we chose to close that preserve to public access. And so given the intricacies of the land management issues, we just felt that it was better not to include that property in the transfer. Like Metro, it is the Nature Conservancy's policy not to discuss ongoing negotiations or discussions with neighbors and landowners about any possible transactions. We keep those in confidence. And also, like Metro, the Nature Conservancy only works with willing sellers and willing buyers. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So to try to orient me just a little bit, if you go to the map that page 3, I think, the third map in your list, Dan. The property just to the south of Oxbow is the part that you're retaining.
That's correct.
And then the part and the rest that's outlined in red, except for that little yellow plot down there, is the part that you're ceding over to us.
That's correct.
Okay. And Dan, could you elaborate a little bit on what, if I'm riding a raft down the Sandy River and come by this property, and did that the last 5 years, what difference am I going to notice when Metro takes over?
Council President Hughes, thank you for the question. I don't think you will notice a difference.
So we're not gonna open it up for more public access than has been allowed under Nature Conservancy currently under the current ownership.
Under our current system plan, which we just completed within the last couple of years, we do not have any plans to develop additional public access on any stretch of the Sandy. We have, as you well know, we have Oxbow Park, over 2,000 acres, that provides incredible opportunities for hiking, camping, swimming, and boating.
I assume that something might happen with that little stretch that is on the beach. The ever-changing beach at Oxbow.
I'm glad Council President Hughes, thank you for the question. I'm glad you asked. There is a photo of that. I apologize, I didn't scroll through there. We're actually looking at that little stretch right here in the photograph. You'll see that the slopes are quite steep in that area. So, while I can't say that, anything is possible, I suppose I really can't see anything being feasible in that area.
Good news is it's not going to slide off into the river like a lot of Oxbow.
Yeah, I'm not willing to make that prediction either.
Well, we'd notice it if it did. Are there other questions? Go ahead, Bob.
Thanks, Mr. President. First, let me say that probably like a lot of people my age, I drew great inspiration from the Dyak family and its generosity and its perseverance in protecting the Sandy and these special places, and it probably affected my choice of careers. I also think that the Dyak family, the Nature Conservancy, and our Parks and Nature program are on the same team. And I would hope that there isn't a page width of difference between the positions we would take in our efforts to manage these lands in a way that protects, enhances, and restores their natural quality. But I guess I'd like to hear some assurance about that. It appears to me, because, Mr. Dyack, I learned about this on Tuesday as we got a briefing to prepare us for this decision, because, as Kathy said, as Dan said, the staffs of these two organizations conduct negotiations with property owners privately in order to protect the public interest and the interest of those property owners. So we're not brought into those details until it's time to take the formal public action. So it was surprising and distressing to hear that there were concerns about it. But I take it the Nature Conservancy came to us with a proposal. We're not paying public resources to acquire this land. It's a gift transaction, as I understand it. And Dan has just stated some very important conditions on the future use of this land, which would require Metro Council action to change. We would have plenty of public notice and opportunity to be heard before we deviated from the conservation plan, the system plan that includes our conservation commitments for this area. I'm hoping that you gain as much confidence from that as I am, because it's critically important that these assets be protected for the future. I remember a time when it wasn't a foregone conclusion that we wouldn't develop in the Sandy or cross the Sandy with urban development, and I spent some time worrying very intently about that as part of my day job at 1,000 Friends of Oregon in the 70s. So this is not an idle issue for anybody. We need those assurances, and Dan, spoken to those, and those are confidence building for me that this is a transaction that will continue the purposes of the family as implemented by the Nature Conservancy. And I take it the Nature Conservancy is serious about the reversionary clause, that if we don't do that, you will take it back.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I guess I'm making an assumption. I always hate to do that because it always is wrong. But part of this is spurred by our ability to get the maintenance levy and to actually have money to actively maintain properties like this. And so what you have here are properties that, for one reason or another, a lack of maintenance, lack of ongoing restoration, and those kinds of property processes are likely to deteriorate as resources, whereas with as part of a maintenance program, which Metro can now afford to do, they retain their value and therefore meet the goals that both of our organizations have. Is that fairly correct as an assumption, or am I kind of tweeting off there in space?
Yeah, no, I think that some of the properties are pretty easy to manage. They're older, mature forests, and those systems tend to be relatively easy to manage. Other areas where there's a lot of natural disturbance, the riparian areas, are the areas that tend to be a little more challenging to manage and where you can get invasive species invading the habitats if you don't take care of them. So that's what needs the attention, really. Would you agree, Dan?
I would agree, and I would say that, you know, we are well positioned to manage additional land like this, like I attempted to address in my presentation. You know, with over 2,000 acres of land that we're managing in the gorge right now, you know, these additional tracts are, you know, similar habitat that we're managing. So when we have crews, whether they're volunteers, whether they're contract crews or whether it's our staff out there doing management on our existing holdings, there's an economy of scale, there's an efficiency to going and consistently managing that adjacent property to ours, you know, at that same time.
And Dan, do we have a specific restoration and management plan for the gorge? Is it a part of our master plan or the master planning process, I think?
Council President Hughes, thank you for the question. So, you know, we do have a plan in our system plan. We've identified, you know, the Sandy River Gorge as what we call a naturehood, and we do have some broad objectives set out for that area. For each of our sites, we develop site conservation plans, which lay out conservation targets and more specific conservation actions that we'll take on each of those properties. The land that we're looking at for donation from the Nature Conservancy will fit nicely in with the site conservation plan that we have, for example, for that part of the region. So I see it being completely consistent with all of the management actions that we're taking there right now.
Others? Yes. Go ahead, Carlotta.
A quick question, I think. Are all the parcels that we're looking at, were they all part of the Dyack family donation?
No. I don't know if you can go back to the map. There's one small piece, or maybe two, that were part of the one that's next to Oxbow was part of the Dyack donation, and a portion of the east side. Am I right, Joanne? Portion of the east side across the river, and we did have conversations with the Dyack family about transferring those to Metro, and they agreed that that was acceptable.
And just to reiterate or reaffirm, our management plans for all of these properties are pretty consistent with what the Nature Conservancy has been doing. We don't have alternative plans or plans to do some more active use of the
Council President Hughes, Councilor Collette, yes, you are correct. We don't have plans currently for developing any additional access or any kind of recreation on those sites, and managing them consistently with the riparian and upland forests in that area is how we plan to manage them, just like the Nature Conservancy has for fish and wildlife habitat and for protections of water quality. That's what we've done. We've spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, in the Sandy River doing in-stream habitat improvements for listed fish and for other native fish, developing side channel projects for off channel habitat, and also conducting bank stabilization and simply revegetation of disturbed areas to reduce competition from invasive plants, all actions that the Nature Conservancy has also in some part worked on in the in that same area. Kathy, please correct me if I'm wrong, but
other questions or comments? Yeah, go ahead, Councillor.
Thank you. Thank you for the Dyack family to be here today. I know this is a very important property to you, and I hope that when you leave here today, you're a little more confident that we're going to be taking care of this. Get council approval that you will feel comfortable with that land transfer. So I want to go backwards. I have a couple questions, and there's a statement I'd like to make. So when the bond measures were first passed in the early in the 1990s, again in 2006, you know, the Metro staff, Metro Council came up with a target areas that they identified that were really important areas that we wanted to protect. And the Sandy River Gorge was one of those. So can you describe, when you think back about why was the Sandy River Gorge selected? Why was it considered one of an important target area that actually sits outside our urban area, but really is an important area for this larger urban area?
Council President Hughes, Councilor Craddock, thank you. You know, while I wasn't here at the time that the refinement plans or the target areas were developed for the bond measures, as I mentioned in my presentation, you know, the Sandy River and specifically the Sandy River Gorge is a very unique, ecologically unique area that does define the eastern edge of the Portland region. You know, while the urban growth boundary does contain important habitat that Metro has actively protected, there are some sites that are outside of that area. And, you know, like many aspects of the business that we do, you know, ecology doesn't really recognize political boundaries. So I think it was the strong vision of the conservation advocates of that time to really press Metro, the Nature Conservancy, and other conservation organizations to pay special attention to the Sandy River Gorge for both the water quality that provides ultimately to the Columbia River, for the habitat that it provides to native fish, and for the riparian areas that it provide habitat for other important wildlife. Kathy, I don't know if you'd like to add anything to that.
That's
That's exactly right.
Thank you. And so per your presentation and the information that we received, I take that this is really kind of an economy of scale where by the transfer of the land to Metro, it really can put one agency working on this and it really can create an economy of scale in how we go about the work. And in some ways, this actually allows the Nature Conservancy to look at other properties in the state. Is that a correct understanding?
That's correct. Yes, and we do intend to continue to invest in the Sandy River. We have made grants to a number of other organizations that work in the Sandy River to advance restoration projects. We have a number of volunteers that love the Sandy River dearly, and they want to continue to volunteer out on site to help Metro manage these lands. So we aren't walking away from the Sandy, but it is kind of an economy of scale and allows us to focus our efforts elsewhere. We manage about 140,000 acres in the state on about the same budget as you have, I say enviously, mm-hmm. for the lands in the metro area. So it really helps us achieve the broader responsibilities that we have. Thank you.
I'd like to follow up, if you don't mind. Dan, the other question I had was regarding access, and you addressed this briefly. I know one of the concerns that I've heard is the concern about access, that because if Metro has this now, it's going to create more public access to the property. So would you go back over your comments a little bit about what you see as our plans for that? How is it different or how is it not different from what is available right now to the public?
Council President Hughes, Councilor Craddock, I see our management of these sites to be completely consistent with how the Nature Conservancy has managed them over time. As I mentioned in Metro's system plan, it does not call for additional access in this area to the Sandy River. And as I mentioned, just from a feasibility standpoint, looking into the future, one of the reasons we're in front of you today is that the remoteness and the challenge of getting to these sites made it very difficult even for our, phase one environmental investigators who can be, quite good at accessing, many of our sites, challenging to the point where we didn't send them out there. So these are, and I think you noticed from some of the photographs, these are very remote, very difficult, challenging sites. At the same time, they're beautiful. They offer amazing habitat, and we're really pleased to be able to protect them as a part of, the larger landholdings in the gorge.
And one other question then. I know the docs are concerned. They're feeling like this was sudden. So can you kind of go back to us? Councilor Stacey briefly addressed it. It's the process of how these transactions occur. Describe how the suddenness of this, at least from the public perspective, how it came to us at this point in time.
Well, Council President Hughes, Councilor Craddock, we have been discussing these acquisitions with the Nature Conservancy for, I believe it's somewhere about 18 months. We've been in conversations and, doing a lot of that work actually was just trying to get out and investigate the properties to take a good look at them, make sure that, the condition that they were in and, just the basic terms of the deal. So we've been in that conversation for well over a year. And I think I'll probably hand it over to Kathy, as she mentioned, there have been conversations beyond that between the Nature Conservancy and others, other owners in the area.
Yes, Metro Council President Hughes and Councillor Craddock, we started talking about this with the Dyack family 3 years ago. I do feel badly that they feel like this is coming suddenly, so I certainly apologize if we didn't keep them close enough to how things were moving on these donations, because the Dyack family is very important to me personally, and I feel badly that they feel like this is sudden, because we thought we had a lot of communications about this and that they that they supported this, maybe not embraced it, but at least supported this. So I do apologize that something happened and we didn't keep them close enough to the discussions.
Thank you. I'd like to make a comment then, if I could. I am comfortable with this today, and I'll be voting in favor of it, because I believe that, first of all, we as a council, our job is to make sure that we continue to, and of course Metro staff, the confidence of the region to continue to get support to be able to continue to purchase land, put in the public domain, those special properties that, you know, protect water quality, habitat, our uplands, and to continue to make this a great place to live. And this, we started this in the early in 1990s, and of course again in 2006, and then since then two levies. And our job is to make sure that we continue to have the public support for this. And if we don't, then if we don't continue to keep their confidence, we're not going to get their financial support. And so I'm personally very proud of that work so far. We have really developed the confidence, I believe, of the public in this last election when we the levy. Over 70% of the region voted to support the levy. That's quite remarkable. And so I know personally, I'd assume in the future councils would not dare undermine that confidence in any way that we can. So I see this as that something that's really important to us, that we continue and we want to protect these properties. And from what you've said today, I think that I am comfortable that we will continue to uphold all that the Nature Conservancy has done, and you, Chris, are wonderful partners, and so I will be voting to support this. But I think it's I appreciate all the work that you've done.
Okay, thank you. Other comments, questions?
I've got a couple questions. I appreciate Councillor Craddock addressing the issue of, you know, why is the Nature Conservancy doing this? Because I wasn't sure what the motivation behind it was, and I didn't feel like it was really appropriate to ask. You know, it's your motivations are your own. Yeah, but it does lead to the question of it does appear that the Nature Conservancy is determined to divest themselves of this property, even the property that Metro can't or won't take is going back to the family again, so that they're getting rid of it. So my question kind of to both of you would be, what would be the consequence if, you know, what would happen if we said no? If we didn't want the property, then what would happen? And what would happen to this property?
I'll start. Metro Council President Hughes, Councillor Dirksen, if you chose not to accept these properties, we would continue to manage the properties. We may look for another partner who might be interested in taking them over. In our view, you are our first choice because you have the best natural areas program, as I said, in the country and probably in the world. And you have an incredible staff that is excellent at taking care of these lands. We have the utmost confidence in your natural areas program. So if not, we would continue managing the properties. While I can't talk about any discussions that we're having with the family regarding any transactions on the Dyack Tract, I know that there is information out there. And I just want to assure you that we are not going to do anything that would not maintain protections for that tract as well.
I have a couple of follow-up questions as well, and it's with regard to people's concern about what will happen to this property if we accept it. Now, under the terms of our bond measure, if we purchase property with bond measure funds, then what we can do with it is severely restricted. It has to be preserved as open space, has to be restored to natural area. The amount of activities that take place on it are very limited. We're not allowed to turn around and resell it to someone else for development or anything else. But if we acquire this property through this process where we're not actually purchasing it with bond funds, are our uses of the property similarly restricted, or would we need to take some other action if necessary in order to ensure that that is the case? I noticed, and I was trying to find it again, but I thought I read in here somewhere where it says that we were actually receiving the property through a title fee transfer. So it sounds like there actually is some money involved. And if we were to use any money at all in order to acquire the property, if that were bond money, would then that all those restrictions then apply? Or how do we apply those restrictions so that this property continues to be preserved and treated as our other natural areas and open spaces are preserved?
Council President Hughes, Councillor Dirksen. So there are several points I'd just like to make, and that's an excellent question. The first is that, as we mentioned earlier, there is right up front in the deed to this property, there is a reverter clause. So if at any point in the future Metro does not manage this property consistent with the terms that we've agreed to, which is water quality protection and fish and wildlife habitat, it reverts to the Nature Conservancy. And as anyone who's worked with the Nature Conservancy before, they take that extremely seriously. The second part of it is that there will be some money exchanged, as you mentioned, in terms of the fee transfer. So there are some incidental dollars that are exchanged, and we also paid for some of the environmental investigation out of the bond measure. So it does also have that protection as well.
Good. Thank you.
Other comments?
Yes.
Go ahead, Sam.
Well, there's just two things. One is, I thought about the chances of the Nature Conservancy being able to do something else with this property, and what would that mean if we didn't pursue this option, and the costs of us doing that and taking this on. And I've really come to the conclusion that knowing enough about the Nature Conservancy to understand the importance of our partnership and sort of unified work in partnership with the Nature Conservancy, and the real concept that the Nature Conservancy conserves land and then often looks for partners to take over that land and integrate it into their land management plans. I think that's what we're doing here. I think we're taking land and incorporating it at an economy of scale into our land management program in a way that really makes sense from an economy of scale perspective. It makes sense from a cost perspective because we're really incorporating it into a body of work, an area where the costs are not extensive. As you said, even add on the fact that it's old growth that has some level of self-management that has seemed to have worked for millions or billions, and I know we have other factors now and all that, but so I think that from that perspective that this is the right way to move forward. The other component I think that's really important is around the transparency issue, and correct me here if I'm not right, correct, but I think that my experience with our land management and the work that we do is that we have among the best practices in the nation around our wildlife and natural area protections. And so I think that Metro, land in Metro's hands, urban lands in Metro's hands, is in about as good a hands as you can get. And so I might be biased, but I think that is a well-respected perspective around the country. And I think that what we also do is add a additional level of transparency. So, because I heard you talk about that, and I think that we bring that public management and additional transparency to the table. So I hope we will, in this work moving forward, continue that commitment to transparency, and that we will look to make sure that we're understanding the concerns of the Dyack and other families in how we move forward taking care of this land.
Thank you. Other comments? Questions? I think we're going to have a roll call.
Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Craddock?
Aye.
Councillor Collette?
Yes.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes.
Council President Hughes?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Next item on the agenda are ordinances, first read and public hearing. Ms. Papsdorf, could you read Ordinance 17-1400.
Ordinance number 17-1400 for the purpose of annexing to the Metro District boundary approximately 82.18 acres located in the North Bethany area of Washington County.
We're now going to move to a hearing on the proposed ordinance number 17-1400 regarding a request by Polygon WLH LLC, I'm not sure what that all spells, but to annex to the Metro District boundary approximately 82.18 acres located in the North Bethany area of Washington County. As part of a quasi-judicial hearing, I need to state the following. The members of the Metro Council here today are myself, Council President Tom Hughes, and Councilors Shirley Craddock, Carlotta Collette, Craig Dirksen, Sam Chase, and Bob Stacey. Because this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, council members must declare a conflict of interest or ex parte communicate or contact prior to the staff presentation. If a councilor has a conflict of interest, they are not allowed to participate in the council discussion or vote on the application. If a councilor has an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Discussion with Metro staff are not considered ex parte contacts. Councilors will be asked to declare any conflict of interest or ex parte contact after Metro attorney describes additional procedural requirements. Metro attorney Allison Keene.
Thank you, Council President Hughes, members of Council. For quasi-judicial hearings of this type, Oregon land use statutes require that I provide this statement of certain required procedures. Under Section 3.09.070 of the Metro Code, this type of annexation into the Metro District boundary must be initiated by petition, which must be reviewed and acted on by the Council following a public hearing. Public testimony at this hearing should only address the applicable approval criteria. That criteria are set forth in Section 3.09.070 of the Metro Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report, which is part of the packet of materials before the Council. The decision of the Council is final and can be challenged by filing a Notice of Intent to Appeal with the Land Use Board of Appeals within 21 days of the final decision. If any person fails to raise an issue in person during the hearing or by letter, or fails to provide sufficient evidence to allow the Council to respond to an issue, that issue may not be the basis for an appeal to LUBA. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the Council an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in Circuit Court under ORS 197.796. Now I will go over the hearing procedures. First, the Metro staff will present a short report. The staff report will describe the proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and summarize the staff recommendation. The applicant may then make a presentation in support of its application. Following the applicant's presentation, other persons in support of the application will be given the opportunity to speak. Next, opponents of the application, if any, will have the opportunity to speak. And then the applicant may rebut any testimony that was given from opponents. Public testimony will then be closed. After the record is closed, council members will then discuss and vote on the request. This hearing is part of the official record. In your testimony, please speak specifically about this application and how the criteria relate to the request. Please submit a copy of any testimony, and that will be maintained as part of the record. Council President Hughes.
Okay, thank you very much. Case being reviewed is proposed ordinance number 17-1400, which is for the purpose of annexing to the Metro District approximately 82.18 acres located in the North Bethany area of Washington County. Do any council members have ex parte contacts to disclose?
No.
I hear none, nor do I have any. Do any council members have any conflict of interest to declare?
No.
No, and neither do I. Mr. O'Brien, Metro staff, for a brief presentation.
Good afternoon, Councilors. Tim O'Brien, Metro Planning Department staff.
As mentioned before, today is an annexation to the Metro District boundary for approximately 82 acres in the North Bethany area of Washington County. The land is part of the North Bethany subarea plan that Washington County completed, which is consistent with Metro's Title 11 requirements for planning new urban areas. The land must be annexed to the Metro District boundary for urbanization to occur, and the applicant is in the process of annexing to the necessary Washington County service districts. Once all annexations are complete, building may occur consistent with the approved North Bethany plan. The criteria for annexation of land into the metro boundary are in Metro Code Section 3.09.070E. The criteria include, one, that the affected territory lies within the urban growth boundary. Two, the territory is subject to measures that prevent urbanization until the territory is annexed to a city or to service districts that will provide necessary urban services. And three, the proposed change is consistent with any applicable cooperative or urban service agreements adopted pursuant to ORS Chapter 195 and any concept plan. As outlined in the staff report, the application meets the required criteria for annexation. The land was included in the urban growth boundary in 2002. Washington County applied the future development 20 acres designation to the expansion area prior to adoption of the North Bethany Service District, and the land is currently in the process of being annexed to the appropriate service districts in Washington County. Thus, the area was subject to measures that prevented urbanization until the territory is annexed to a city or service districts. And finally, three, the annexation of land is consistent with the North Bethany Subarea Plan and the County North Bethany Service District and is required as part of a land use application. Therefore, staff does recommend approval of Ordinance Number 17-1400. And I just kind of wanted to update you as in terms of the North Bethany, I knew Councilor Stacey would appreciate this, the North Bethany status. They have about 70 acres left in North Bethany to be annexed, which is a little less than 10% of the total area in the North Bethany. So we're getting really close for North Bethany. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much for that information. I am now going to open a public hearing, and I have no blue cards, so I am guessing that there isn't anybody who is going to testify. But nonetheless, I'm going to open a public hearing, and if you wish to testify on this matter, come forward, give us your name and address, and then you have 3 minutes. So public hearing is open. Anyone wish to testify? Public hearing is closed. The second reading, council consideration, and vote are scheduled for Thursday, May 18th. COO Communications.
I have only bittersweet items today. I'm sure that, first of all, since he's sitting over here, I would mention that I sent you all an email and have had a chance to visit with all of you about a little announcement Deputy COO Scott Robinson made today that he's going to actually retire by the end of the calendar year. I will...
You don't get to vote on this?
I will be willing to talk about it after I've gone through all seven of the stages of grief. So I'm not going to talk anymore other than to say I'm really happy for you, Scott, and I'm really pissed off all at the same time.
Which stage involves Scotch?
All of them. Actually, yeah, the seven stages of whiskey, we call that at our house. Anyway, the second bittersweet item is a resolution that I'd like to introduce to you commemorating the 37th anniversary of Mount St. Helens Day, which is actually the day that Kathy Rutkowski has decided to retire. Before I introduce the resolution, I want to say a couple of things about Kathy. I think many of you know that she started her career at the Oregon Zoo, and she has many stories to tell. And in fact, when I asked her to tell me a few stories, many of the stories that she told me actually related to some of her early experiences as a very young person working at the Oregon Zoo, including some of the experiences in counting cash at the Oregon Zoo. And I will say we've made a lot of progress since those days, so I'm grateful for the stories. And I'm a little scared, actually, when she tells me what has and hasn't changed, but that's another story. But many of us have had a chance to work with Kathy since she's been here at the Metro Regional Center in guiding two really important aspects of Metro's operations. First, she is the heart of our budget process. And for those of you who've had an opportunity to work in budgeting in Metro, there is probably not any dimension of Metro's budgeting process that Kathy doesn't know and that can't tell you about. And I have really appreciated having to work or getting a chance to work with her in the budget, having to work with her, that's probably Freudian, but giving an opportunity to work with her because she's so knowledgeable and she is so thorough and professional and it's only really been in the last couple of years where I've gotten her to actually tell me what she thinks about the decisions I make. Now she won't stop telling me, but that's another story. And the second thing that really is significant that she does, as I think you all know, is she manages our debt, and she makes recommendations to all of us about when we should refund or resell bonds, and she has saved us literally gazillions, I mean millions of dollars over the years because she is so thoughtful in how she manages how Metro's debt. We have gotten to do a lot of extra work in a variety of our fields because of Kathy's careful stewardship. So I think we're going to miss how thoughtful she is. And I have a feeling, knowing Kathy, that she manages her own private money as carefully as she has stewarded the public money, which is both a testament to her public service and also why she can leave. And I also have a feeling that it would be fun to grocery shop with her because I have a feeling she's really frugal and knows how to get a really good deal. So I'm going to miss you, Kathy, a lot. I'm going to miss how well you know this organization and how professionally you manage yourself and every interaction that you have with all of us. And I will also say it's an incredible testament to you that all these wonderful people have come here to hear this resolution get introduced from throughout the agency, not just those who are closest to you in physical space in the finance department. And not only that, but they were willing to sit through the discussions about annexation of North Bethany and the acquisition of a piece of property in the Sandy River Gorge is a real tribute to you. So with that, I'd like to suggest that we introduce a resolution for the purpose of honoring Kathy Rutkowski, Metro Budget Coordinator.
Maybe she can come forward.
Would you please come on up?
Come on up.
Rolls her eyes.
Okay.
Councillor Collette.
Thank you. So, and I think there's a typo in here. Whereas Kathy has earned the request of her colleagues during her 42 and a half years at Metro, so you really did start as a kid. Yeah, I mean, really did.
Really?
Seriously. Yes. We probably violated some child labor laws, but it's so long ago that
different.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Statute of limitations.
And whereas Kathy assisted Metro in achieving and maintaining that coveted double AAA bond rating, which netted Metro both favorable interest rates and high yield premiums, and which we also are very proud and use as bragging rights and often use when we're out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas Kathy started her career as a ticket taker at Portland Zoological Gardens,
and whereas she has led Metro's budget process for 30 years, and whereas those budgets totaled $11.3 billion, I'm glad it took 30 years to accumulate that money, and
whereas she has valiantly worked for Tim Collier for her last 3 years. And
whereas many colleagues and employees consider Kathy a valuable resource of Metro budget and debt history.
And whereas Kathy Rutkowski will be sorely missed and remembered for her exceptional service to Metro and to the citizens of this region.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that Kathy Rutkowski, honored for her accomplishments and achievements, and we wish her well as she enters a well-deserved retirement from public service. And adopted by the Metro Council on this day in May of 2017. Thank you, Kathy.
A word?
Thank you. I am very humbled by the honor today. I have found myself saying a lot over the last few weeks. It's surprising where a summer concessions job up at the zoo turned into a lifelong career. I was fortunate to be in the right place at the right time with the right people in the right organization, and my career literally grew with the agency. And I am forever grateful to this agency and to the people that served as my guiders, my mentors, and helped me along to get me to this place where I am today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Have fun. Yeah. Well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Counselor communications. You know, I'm somehow again I'm not getting lit up here, so just
I think I have your.
You think you have mine?
Yes, because I don't get a request to speak. I get a view speakers down here, and I get a list.
Yeah. And there's no speakers.
No.
Well, that
must
not work.
But I'm going to call on Counselor Collette.
Okay. I have a couple of things to report on. The first one, earlier this week, we had the Transit-Oriented Development Steering Committee meeting. We had a couple of previews at that meeting of projects that will be coming before us for contributions, one of which I think some of you know about. It's Mr. Roy Kim's project at Rockwood, the Rockwood Rising,
yeah.
A really extraordinary project. I'm excited to see that starting to take place. And then we also had an opportunity to approve funding for a Central City Concern project that will be incorporates community health care and transitional housing and affordable housing. We approved a grant of $500,000 for Central City Concern for that project. Also, I want to report on the MPAC meeting last night, which Councillor Chase was also at and can certainly back me up if I forget something. I think we opened with something that was really important, and that was a kind of a report back on our equitable housing work from the last several years. At a previous meeting, a speaker from the public said, "Are you doing anything on affordable housing? This is an issue that concerns me very much." And we were able to respond then, but more completely last night with a real overview of what we are doing on equitable housing, the grant program, the whole strategic work that we've done, and I think we'll get that information back out to the person who commented. Then we had a couple of recommendations to make, and Councillors Stacey and Craddock will be happy to know that MPAC did approve or recommend approval of the locally preferred alternative on the Powell Division Transportation Project, which is now called the Division Transportation Project. So there was a lot of support for that. I think everybody feels that that's a really exciting project that we want to get behind as a region. And the group also recommended approval of the Regional Transportation Plan Vision Statement and the Investment Strategy Approach that's will be part of the next year's work, or most, a whole year,
yeah.
The next year's work. So it was a very good meeting, ended only slightly ahead of schedule, and I think there was just a lot of willingness to work together coming from MPAC last night. Anything to add to that?
That was well done.
Thanks.
Thank you. Others? Any?
Yesterday was the Oregon Zoo Bond Oversight Committee that, of course, oversees our bond measure for the Oregon Zoo. And I guess what struck me is that probably staff won't agree to this, but it feels like we're in the home stretch. We're working on the last three projects in that 10-year bond, and to me that's really remarkable. We're in the early stages of that project. They're catching up the primate forest and the rhino design of those to catch up with the Polar Passage project, but those three projects will be moving ahead as one project.
And it just seemed, I was just really struck yesterday that we really have made this quite an accomplishment. And those of you that were on the Metro Council in 2008 when this bond measure was passed, it's really quite remarkable. It's probably not quite time to celebrate, but I really was really left thinking, wow, this is really quite an accomplishment. And to be on the home stretch like this with the last three projects, which have been combined together as one project.
Others? Okay. Seeing no one else, I think we're ready to adjourn. The next regular council meeting will be on May 18th at 2 p.m. in the Metro Regional Center Council Chambers. We are having or not having a work session afterwards?
Yeah, we'll have a work session in this room in about 10 minutes.
In this room in about 10 minutes.
In this room?
Yes, we're going to reset.
Oh.
Okay.
Good
with,
luck that,
with that, we are going to adjourn the council meeting. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
It's a work session, not a...
Yeah.